Hey friends, welcome to the Rhythms for Life podcast, where each week we talk about four rhythms that help you reduce stress and anxiety and take charge of your emotional health. Rest, restore, connect, create. Welcome back. I'm Rebecca, and we are so excited that the temperature took a turn this weekend. It's like for fall break. It actually felt like fall. And Pierce was home this weekend for fall break, and we decided we would take Joy to her very first pumpkin patch experience, complete with hay rides, a hay maze, bales, you name it, all the fall fun. And Gabe's not here today, but I finally discovered my new favorite coffee drink is the pumpkin cold brew from Starbucks because I stopped doing the PSL long ago. And I loved it. And someone recommended on socials if you wanted to go nitro brew with a pumpkin cold brew. You could try that too if you need lots of extra energy. But today we are titling this episode Mornings with God because we have She Reads Truth on today, Amanda Williams, co-founder, and we talk so much about, you know, if you follow her, you know her story with Toby and Joy and our friend Theo all came home from China and they all were adopted by families in Nashville. And so this is a very heartfelt, meaningful, wonderful conversation of what God has done through our Say Yes series, our surrendered yes that all three families made to bring our kids to this side of the world. But the reason we're titling it Mornings with God is because She Reads Truth, we're talking all about the content and Advent that's going to start soon. But if you are following along in our Say Yes series and you are doing the Live Free Guide, the Let Go and Live Free Guide, we're only just beginning our third week, and today's episode is also titled what our conversation is on that guide, which is the chapter Mornings with God. So we just want to equip you this week on all things Mornings with God. So if you want to jump in, just go to RebeccaLyons.com/livefree and you'll get your free download of every session. And we're just on week three, and it's just a wonderful way to take the content from a surrendered yes and have some conversation starters with your friends, because we truly believe transformation happens in community. And also, we're heading off to Lost Valley in a few days for our couples retreat. And you guys, if you're podcast listeners, you've heard us talk about different retreats. So we're very excited for this one. Definitely have been looking forward to it all fall. And for those of you who couldn't make it to this one, it sold out pretty quickly. We still have a few spots available for emotional health retreat here in November in Franklin. That's November 18th and 19th. So please go ahead and sign up today if that's something that you still want to get a retreat in before 2021 is over. You want to pause and you want to reflect, and you just want to experience the fullness of what God has for you going into the holidays and the new year. These are some of our favorite things we do, is bringing people together in these deeper dives of discipleship and learning around emotional health. A broken bone, cancer, pregnancy, medical emergency, we all know how quickly a healthcare need can arise. That's where Samaritan Ministries comes in, connecting hundreds of thousands of Christians across the nation who care for one another's medical needs through prayer, encouragement, and financial support. It's not insurance, so you have the freedom to choose the doctors, treatments, and hospitals that are right for you. Your medical bills are sent to Samaritan Ministries, and they notify members to pray for you and send money to help you pay those bills. It's affordable, with a sharing program that can fit your budget, and you can join today. When the body of Christ comes together to pray, encourage, and provide for one another, burdens are lifted, and God is glorified. This applies to all areas of life, including healthcare. Visit SamaritansMinistries.org/RFL podcast to see how healthcare sharing with Samaritan Ministries can work for you. Again, that's SamaritansMinistries.org/RFL podcast. Amanda Williams.
Hello, friend.
It's such a joy to have you today. Feels like a long time coming.
It is.
We've never had a conversation about really what catalyzed this surrendered yes devotional and the story of Joy. I mean, we never on air talked about this.
Not an official.
Not on the record. Yeah, so this is on the record. But first, I would really love to talk about how much She Reads Truth has been such a gift to me over the years from the beginning. I mean, when it was like a little baby, it was like a little friend. You could like put it in your pocket and take it. Because, I mean, Ryan and Rachel were some of our first friends here. We moved to Franklin 7 years ago, and it was like, it was just like taking flight.
Yeah.
How's that journey been for you?
Oh, man. It has been, I mean, goodness, we could talk surrendered yes about that, too, because it was one of those things we didn't really know what we were saying yes to at the time. But it has been remarkable to watch just what the Lord is doing. It just feels like being up close to something that just being invited into a very unexpected gift and watching the way he works through his word and in the hearts and lives of his daughters and his sons around the world. It's been an adventure. Mm. It's been scary at times. It's been really, really beautiful. And for me, I mean, the shape of my life, it's really shaped my life, my family's life in so many ways now, that community and that company that we get to steward, that ministry, because, you know, Rachel and I, our friendship did not predate She Reads Truth. So it actually started with the community.
Yeah.
And now we're, you know, sisters practically.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it has been, it's just been beautiful. And to there's something so motivating and inspiring and convicting
right.
about knowing that women and men, because we have He Reads Truth too, right? And so knowing that women and men around the world are opening their Bibles together
yeah.
and reading even from the same passages mm-hmm. Each day, and it's just it's very unexpected, and I wouldn't trade it.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't.
Well, I think about that, right? In the prayer of unity, right? When you are opening the word and Jesus' real, his prayer is that that we'd be one and that the world would know. And what more to unite the church on a global scale than the word itself, right?
I don't think that we really understand. And it just, you know, so many things about God we don't fully understand, right? And are just a mystery. But he does gift us knowledge. But even having been a woman in the Word of God every day for 10 years with this community, I still think that I don't fully understand how much power is in his Word.
Yeah, come on.
And it really is.
I was going to ask you, like, what's been the biggest surprise and delight?
I mean, I think that it really is that the stories are really true. Mm. Because I think as believers and followers of Jesus, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself here and kind of showing my cards, but there's a little bit of in the back of your mind, and it's just the enemy. The enemy likes to say things like, did God really say?
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
in the garden.
Yeah.
And so it's like, is this really true? And is God's word really living and active? And so the best, most wonderful surprise of this has been that every day, no matter what I feel, every day that we open our Bibles, it proves itself trustworthy and true. And even if I don't feel like being a woman in the Word of God today, or my circumstances are, you know, just stink, and this is not a great day, I don't want to do this, His Word is still true, and it's still living, and it's still active, and it still changes me. And it doesn't mean that every time I open my Bible, it's this big mountaintop spiritual experience, but it does mean that He honors that, and He works through that. He's mining up the soil of our hearts, you know, and planting things that only He can plant there,
right.
and growing things that only He can grow. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's been the most beautiful surprise, is that not only is that true for me and my personal life and for Rachel and her personal experience, but that has been true person after person around the world.
Yeah, it's
and
so good.
It's just phenomenal.
I'm just so moved by the idea here that the Word, when it becomes flesh, right? So not only did Jesus as the Word become flesh,
yes.
He gives us His
Praise
Word,
God.
And as we read it, our flesh is changed. Our physicality, our movements, our actions, our hands and feet, embodiment of the Word, right?
Mm-hmm.
So often, I think when I was younger in the faith, I really truly thought the Word of God was like transactional. Like, I need to get up and I need to check this off of my daily rhythm of, and not that it returned void, but it stopped at a certain level of impact because it was still seen as something to consume, not embody.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about the stories are true, you only come to know that when your encounter with God and His Word simultaneously in the way that it forms you and shifts the way you think and live and respond. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, that's why it's true. It's not just because I read that it was true. It's just that I'm living it now as if it's true. And I'm seeing the fruit of that obedience. Yeah. And I want to just take this into the direction of where you've had to see that this is true. Like that God's faithfulness is true. It's not an idea. It's not, you've been an incredible editor and a writer. And like, you're so gifted at that. But like, it's not just writing it and saying it, like you had to live it. And I want to just talk about that, like just holding and grasping onto the faithfulness of God when everything would try to pull you away. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Toby.
Wow, he's our guy.
And Joy. But I remember when Meredith sent me a photo of Joy and I was like, oh my goodness. And then I was so nervous about saying yes to that. And thankfully, Meredith is like, well, you should probably have a conversation with Amanda offline. and you hadn't really shared yet that you were adopting Toby.
Oh, yeah.
And we finally talked. And I was like, your courage beget my courage. I'm like, well, she's
well,
you know.
Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.
She's got her own kids, too. And she's full throttle in mission and vocation and calling. And you were also walking through some pain with the loss of your dad.
Yeah,
I was experienced the loss of my dad. I mean, we had a big, nice, ugly cry, I remember, at Mercantile.
We've had a few of those.
But that's how I think it's those ugly cries that helps you really come to know the stories are true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because if it can be true now, if I can see God's faithfulness now in like whatever that darkness is that we're experiencing, like the time when I will always, always, always remember this, Rebecca, when we sat on that bench outside of the chapel at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital and we prayed and you spoke truth to me. And I mean, my child was dying. And I know that there are people listening to this who have been in a place like that. And there's just, that is like an almost tangible darkness that you're in where it feels like someone just turned off all the lights and everything is just, you don't know anything anymore. I know nothing anymore except that this really hurts and this is really hard. But even in that, and you know, and even through you, God reminded me, and you speaking His word to me reminds me of His faithfulness. And if it can be true then, if it's true then, and He shows up then, then you know, we're having this conversation on a beautiful beginning of fall day in Franklin, Tennessee, right?
Wild.
And so, God's faithful today. Look at this. Look at all. You know, I bought a new sweater today. Everything's great. but you know, that's one thing, but it's in those really dark, trying times when for us, our surrendered yes, I felt like we went in eyes wide open to the adoption.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know the story,
let's
summarize
tell a
very
bit
quickly.
I forgot I was just talking to you.
I know the last four chapters of the book, but how this began is that Toby and Theo, as another friend who's now here, and Joy were all kiddos that were at a foster home for heart babies in China, in Beijing, through our friend Meredith. They had been left in different places and just given to care. And so Joy was at 4 months at a police station, and then she made her way to an orphanage. And then I just think it's wild that like God's providence took these kids on their own little journey.
They were born in very different areas of China.
And China's not small.
So big. Yeah.
Right? It'd be like you were born in Seattle and I was born in Miami.
Right.
And somebody else was born in Manhattan. And then we all wound up being adopted in the same little village over in China.
Right.
Like it's just wild. And God knew that when He knit them, that all their days were written and planned. But we, as the mamas, didn't know, you know, even then. What prompted you? What prompted you when you to say yes?
I don't know that I can even answer. Like, I don't even know how to form the answer to that question because for us, myself and my husband David, and we involved our older children in this decision. I mean, they weren't, when I say older children, older than him, but they were not you know, old, they were young too. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it looked like a series of smaller yeses.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like considering the large yes, mm-hmm. and as a way of considering that, of prayerfully just kind of taking a next step. Mm-hmm. And so I think I've like described it before, and I don't know if it's the best analogy, but it's like you just keep taking one step at a time, and we just kept praying, Lord, if this feels wild, this is not, because we've been praying for a family for Toby. He just stole our hearts, and we've been praying for a family for him for a while, and I felt, you know, really compelled that, like, what if, I mean, we have a family.
Yeah.
what if we're his family?
And, yeah.
You know, when he lost his first family and there's mourning and grieving there. And I'm like, but what if we're supposed to be his next, his forever family? And so taking kind of one step after the other and, you know, adoption is such a process. I swear, I think it's as much of a miracle as childbirth, as childbirth is, because it's just so many things have to go right.
Exactly.
Just like with a physical birth. And so eventually we just kept taking those steps, and eventually like you're walking toward a door and it's like, oh, the next step is to cross the threshold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean,
we're doing this. Yeah.
So far, like, we've given the Lord plenty of opportunity to shut this down. If that was not, in a few times where we felt like maybe it was, I mean, there was a time where it kind of fell through and I grieved that because I thought it was over. And then it, you know, it didn't. And so we're
came
like,
back
okay.
around.
And so here we go. But for us, the same, it was a similar decision because so he had a congenital heart defect and needed some really tedious surgery that we didn't even know if he would qualify for. And we knew that. And so we knew that, and our kids knew that going into this adoption that we would hope that he would be able to have surgery and to repair his heart so that it could carry him into adulthood, but we didn't know.
Yeah. So what day did you bring him home? Because the timeline, I'm going to help the listener with the timeline.
Oh,
so,
that's fun. Yeah.
So I remember you were at, you were picking him up around the time of Joy's birthday because she was sent back to the orphanage in that short amount of time. And somehow you got to see her over there.
I did. She was back at the orphanage and we saw her.
And so you brought him home in the summer of 18.
That's right. It was July
of 18.
Knowing so the 20th is when we landed at home.
Right. So knowing that when he got home, eventually he would need to have major heart surgery.
Right. Eventually he would need it, and hopefully he would physically like be a candidate for
it.
And we didn't know. And
so that surgery was?
It was in November of that same year.
And we went to pick up Joy like literally, I think, 2 weeks after that surgery happened.
Yeah, so his surgery was on the November 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And so it happened really quickly after we came home, which was not expected.
Yeah.
But it was good news. It was good news that he could do that. And because with conditions like this, you know, ideally they're babies, toddlers, you know, and he was already four. And so, but when I was thinking about you and your book and about the concept of a surrendered yes, Rebecca, I was thinking about how, you know, the adoption was a yes that involved surrender, but the surgery was too.
Yeah.
And it proved to be the harder of the two yeses because we prepared ourselves for this could go great. Or this could go really badly and we might lose him. And so I don't want to say we were fully prepared for that second thing because who can be fully prepared? But what happened was that he had the surgery went great until the very end. And then he just had so much bleeding and he had so much so much blood loss. We went in there as a heart patient and a year later emerges from ICU as a heart, a lung, and a kidney patient.
Yeah.
And so he just had so many complications, almost lost him so many times. And I can't tell you how many times David and I would just stand in the hallway of the hospital and go, we didn't have to do this. Mm-hmm. What if we just didn't? Why did we do this? Why did we do the surgery?
Yeah.
Why didn't we just let, he was a happy boy who, you know, if you didn't know any better, you may not even know that something was wrong. His lips were blue. He would get winded easily, but from, you know, and he was really small, but externally you're like, oh, that it's hard to even tell.
Mm.
And, But we knew that it wasn't. It felt like, oh, this was something elective that we elected into, and then we wished we could take it back.
Wow.
And so what that made me think of with the surrender yes is that, man, you know, there's the surrender to say the yes, and then you just have to keep surrendering.
And then maintaining that surrender.
You just have to keep going.
Because,
not that we could have literally gone backwards.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't. But in my heart, I could have.
Yeah.
And it and there were times where I kind of wanted to, you know, to just be like, this was not.
Thanks for being honest about that. I mean, that's a grief and a burden of going like, could this have done differently? Or what did we?
Did I do this?
Aww.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And
girl,
if anyone who has lost a person, I mean, I remember my mom, I don't think she would mind me sharing, when my dad passed away, he was very ill for a long time. I mean, for 2 years, he was, you know, we were kind of on this trajectory. And when he did pass away, for my mom, it was like that last kind of 2 to 3 days where she was like, what if I wouldn't have given this med that they told me to give? Or what if I, because we were trying, she was trying to manage his pain, right? And she was like, what if it was the pain med? And I was like, Mom, but you can't look at, you can't second guess these last 48 hours after you have been faithful for 40 something years.
Yeah.
Like, and specifically, you know, a faithful nurse in the last 2 years. And so it's easier for me to say that to her, but we were doing our own version of that, of like, well, what if we hadn't?
Yeah.
And so I think that's just, as believers, it's just, it's every day that we have to have those conversations with God of just like, I really am giving this back to you, whether I feel like it's going great or I feel like the bottom just fell out and everything's awful, it's still his.
Yeah. And I think, oh my goodness, how vulnerable of you to even share that. I think a lot of people have different ways of embodying some form of doubt, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's anger at God, or maybe it's like bitterness or frustration or regret or guilt or whatever.
Yeah.
But
oh, it's in that last one for me. Yeah.
Yeah. In the end, it's the enemy is just trying to shame.
Yes.
Shame.
Yeah.
And God is still going like, I mean, the amount of times, I mean, God used his life to like, I mean, those of you who don't know this story, you just need to go to Amanda's Instagram.
You all, he's magical, and I have
Toby
nothing
the
to
Brazen,
do with it. He is just his own.
What's
magical.
The hashtag you used throughout that whole journey?
Oh, well, this was thanks to Meredith, Toby the Bravest Wizard.
Yeah, so if you want to watch, yes, go to
Harry Potter scar when he was like three.
Yeah.
And it went away, but he is magical, so we let him keep the nickname.
I love it. Hey, friends, as you know, we are partnering with Agape International Missions to launch A Surrendered Yes into the world. This book is meant to serve as a guide to let go and live free, and so much of this journey starts with simply saying yes. You know, it's a beautiful gift when we find freedom. I know the feeling well, and I thank God for my story of letting go and living free. It's truly been life-changing. But I also believe that my freedom isn't just for me, because here's what I know, freedom is contagious. My freedom helps set others free. I can't think of a more tangible and actionable way to step in and say yes to sharing my freedom than by helping with the work that AIM is doing. For the last 16 years, they've been literally helping set others free. You see, they are on the ground rescuing girls from trafficking and empowering them to live free. This looks like actually rescuing people from dark situations, providing a restoration home where counseling and a journey of healing takes place, and protecting them from future exploitation by offering job training and safe employment opportunities. It's an incredible work, and I want to invite you into it. Right now, go to aimfree.org/sayyes and sign up for The Village. This is AIM's passionate community of monthly donors committed to ending the evil of trafficking one story at a time. And here's the fun part. When you join today, we'll send you a signed copy of A Surrendered Yes, my new devotional. Again, go to aimfree.org/sayyes. You'll even be able to watch a video where I share my heart for this partnership a little bit more. Let's say yes to freedom, and let's share that freedom with others. Well, one thing I noticed as your friend in that season, and so for those of you who kind of missed that, basically he went in for surgery. It lasted long. Like we kept
it's like a 15-hour surgery.
Yeah, we were all waiting on pins and needles, like, how's he doing? How's he doing? And then all of a sudden—
And he was great, great, great.
Right, and then yeah.
Yeah.
And I, as your friend and sister in Christ, am like, How is she doing? You know, because we were all kind of like pins and needles, like what's going on? And then for it to be, I remember coming down the hospital like the next day and just being like, you were so steadfast in a way, like as your friend, like you don't understand, like the Lord, I know you didn't feel it inside.
No.
But the way you demonstrated faithfulness as a daughter, feeling all those questions as your friend, you kept saying, even online and even to us personally, it wasn't like a posture you were putting out there. You're like, and even if not, God is still good. Like you kept just declaring, like, we don't know where if he's going to live. Yeah. We don't know if he's going to die.
Yeah.
And whatever, come what may, God is still good. You just kept saying that. And maybe you're just preaching to yourself, but you were kind of helping.
I mean, I think it is partly that, yeah.
All of us kind of go, okay, Lord, of course we're going to ask for everything.
Because he has to be. And it's like in a situation like that, if he doesn't just stop being good because the bad, because the hard things are happening all the time. And so just because the hard thing was happening to me and in front of me and to my child, first and foremost, to my child, it can't.
Yeah, it doesn't.
If it changes his goodness, then he's not good.
Right.
Like it can't. And,
But you. It was his spirit that on 100%. Display in your life to show that steadfastness in ways you didn't feel inside. I know that. I know there was no way you could.
I mean, I think actual angels carrying me through those hallways because I just don't. I'm trying to think of another time when I have felt the presence of God so thick as around Toby's bed when he was on like every machine you can put a person on. I mean, almost.
And even in the, I remember in those early days, the touch and go, like, we're going back into surgery. We're going back into surgery.
It's awful. And I think that's what ICU life is like. And I didn't know that. But it was very much a roller, very up and down, one step forward, two steps back. Yeah. Really hard, emotionally very difficult to weather because – and then you start to be afraid because, you know, you start updating people. Like I was, you know, had a do-over. I don't know if I would do it the same way because I was updating people live essentially because everyone – he had so many people who loved him. And I wanted them
the
to
world
be able to
was
pray.
Praying
right.
and watching.
And, then, you know, this time stretches out where we were supposed to be in the hospital 2 weeks. Well, you know, things went south really, really quickly. And so it was clear that it wasn't going to be 2 weeks. But as it stretches like weeks and months and more months, then you start to learn that, because it's so hard to explain all the nuance of that up and down outside. It's hard enough to explain it in the hospital with doctors and nurses and even understand firsthand what's going on. And then it's even trickier to explain that, to give a summary and that be accurate. So to say like, you know, these things have improved, but these other things have – it just is hard.
Yeah.
And so, it's the most supernatural thing I've – been a part of to have been carried through that season by the prayers of others, to watch him being healed and healed in very very specific ways, not in the ways I'd asked, you know, some of them, but and just watching what God has done through his brave little body. And
so he came home at what day? It was like a year.
So July 20th, I think is the day we got home. He went in November 12th to the hospital and then we got out. Well, he got out and then he went back. So it was like October 20-something.
Yeah, just shy. Wow.
Yeah. It was like 11 months on the nose kind of.
Yeah. And so getting home.
328 days. I do know that.
328. Mm-hmm. Girl.
I don't know why I counted.
Girl.
I asked Siri a lot.
Yeah.
You're like, Siri, how many days since this?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. For better or for worse.
So now it's been a couple years since then.
Yeah, it's been 3 years.
Wow.
So he came since he came home and it's
then let's talk about Easter.
We're knocking on the door. Oh man.
Oh my gosh. Because
that one's fresher to me.
Yes.
So that was Easter of 2020. So COVID Easter.
So he had been home for a year and a half at that point or so. We need Siri right now. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we kind of
I'm such a context junkie.
No, so it was he comes home in fall of 2018, gets out of the hospital fall of 2019. He was home about 6 months.
Okay.
And without event, like mm-hmm. a major event, mm-hmm. And then went and kind of had an emergency event and not kind of did have an emergency event in early April
Easter.
2020.
Easter Sunday.
Uh-huh. It was
we
like,
got the text.
Uh-huh.
Of, yeah. And we were all in quarantine.
Yes.
Like 3 weeks in. Everyone's yes. fresh. Like.
Yeah.
And I remember a bunch of us going down to the garage, the parking garage uh-huh. at Vanderbilt, and like keeping our distance.
Yeah.
Do you remember Ellie like leading worship?
Yes.
And we
yes.
just like took up the whole parking garage uh-huh. on that.
Became a church.
The
real
ground
quick.
Floor.
Yeah.
yeah. We were all worshiping. We were praying. We couldn't uh-huh. get inside. We were like.
We didn't know if we could touch each other. So
we couldn't,
weren't hugging.
We weren't hugging. And oh, that was the worst.
It was awful.
It was the worst. Meredith did the road trip. From D.C., like, overnight.
Like a crazy, like the crazy person that she is, drove through the night, somehow stayed, well, somehow. Coffee,
yeah.
Stayed awake. And, yeah, she and I did hug. We were like, oh, this
Yeah,
can't.
I remember I watching that, and I was like, you know what? To, yeah, I think we all hugged you through watching her
yeah.
hug you, because it was like, this is life.
Yeah.
And
it was so strange. He was doing really well and improving, and then it went south really quickly, and he was back on, you know, back in that same conversation of, we think this might be it. And that's mm-hmm. when they called me, my husband, and gone with him to the hospital. And so but it was the next day, he was doing better, and then he just started doing a lot worse, and they were like, they think you need to come up because we think this might be it. So I had that conversation with the older three kids. Mm-hmm. And that was the context of Easter Sunday and that worship service in the garage. My pastor and our mutual friend Russ was there, and he prayed with us, and no one could come in, which was just, you know, killing everybody for us to not be able mm-hmm. to be near. But yeah.
And I think just this is kind of like, we want you guys to hear this because, I mean, it's true. The surrendered yes is a lifelong yes.
It is. And it's sometimes minute by minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's in the moment.
Yeah.
It's a very momentous, like,
yeah.
tiny minutia, like, this moment right now, God, I need you to hold me because
That's
I trust
right.
you.
Right? That's right. Yes, I believe that you are who you say you are.
Yeah.
And
right
then
now.
10 minutes later. Yep.
Yep.
I believe that you are who you say you are. I see that lab that just came in from that blood work, and I know now what that means, but I still believe that you are who you say you are. And I think for me, it was learning to divorce God's faithfulness from an outcome.
That yes. it's so good.
That his faithfulness transcends outcomes. Can he affect outcomes, and is he sometimes, you know, is that part of the way that we see and know his faithfulness and his kindness and his love? Yes, of course. But and it's hard to even talk about and frame it rightly, mm-hmm. but it's that, it's like, yes, I know that this is true, that that the truth of who you are transcends whether my son's physical body lives through this.
And then all of a sudden, a year later, right? Like, I remember us going to watch him be baptized.
Praise God.
I mean, it's just like not a dry eye. Like, mm-mm. just my goodness.
With Theo.
And
Joy is
Joy,
in the
yes,
audience.
Cheering them on. Uh-huh. And I just was like so struck by, again, sometimes we just don't have, we only have our perspective. We only have our vantage point of what we've seen up to this. But God knew even then.
Yeah.
He knew Easter in yeah. 2020 that there'd be a day of baptism in
yeah.
21. Like,
yeah.
I just still am so floored by that and so thankful. I am so thankful that we can only see what only we can see
yeah.
because we're not God. And
yeah.
it just shows us, like, we can rest.
Yeah.
We can just rest in what you know and
yeah.
what is good and what is true. And
yeah.
as your friend, my faith was fortified watching you.
Thanks be to God. I mean, it's him, it's Jesus, you know. And even that, I mean, our tradition, our particular faith tradition, it's covenant baptism. And I think that is such for me and my family. And so I think that's such a picture mm-hmm. of what you just said. It's like, I am trusting and believing that God is in the process mm-hmm. of saving and of redeeming and making all things new. And it's the promise.
Yes.
And we don't always get to see every bit of the promise fulfilled. I mean, you think about Moses, you know, like,
yeah,
you don't always get to see it in the way we think we want to, or the thing we can't, that we think we will, you know.
Right.
But yeah, we're so limited, and there's so much freedom in resting in who we're saying yes to.
And that's really the way I frame that surrendered yes is when you let go, mm-hmm. you do experience the freedom of trust.
Yeah.
Right? You aren't responsible for the outcome. And yeah.
Which
you
can, is so good, right? I'm yeah. so glad it's not up
yes.
to me.
Praise God for that. And the more I let go of like that thinking of like, what's the transaction yeah. going to look like? Where's this going to go? What are the results?
Oh man, it's so hard for us to break out of that, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. But I think it's a little life like Toby and Theo and Joy just yeah. remind us like it is actually in the beauty of the everyday and the yeah. presence of that. So thank you for sharing.
Oh goodness. Thanks
your
for
story.
Asking.
We could go on and on and on. Quickly, mm-hmm. I want to talk about Advent because
oh,
it's my favorite
Advent.
Season with She Reads Truth. It's yeah. something sacred about that slowing and mm-hmm. that expectancy.
Yeah, and you have to kind of insist on it, right? Like you have to insist on that slowing because it's not, culture doesn't,
no.
our Americanized Christmas does not automatically slow, right? Like we know how to hustle at Christmas time and in preparation yeah. for Christmas. And so, yeah, it's something we do every year at She Reads Truth. This will be our 10th Advent as a community,
deal.
Which is so cool that we have, this will be the 10th year that we have read scripture together
yeah.
to prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so we're super stoked about that. It brings a lot of feelings about that
I
community
know.
And
what
how
a
much
celebration.
We love that community. And this year, I just love the Lord's timing. It's always so, so good and so much better. I wish we could take credit for how we plan this, but no. But this year, the plan is called The Everlasting Light.
Mm.
And we are looking at the theme of light in Scripture and specifically how Jesus is the embodiment of light in a dark world.
So beautiful.
And that we're invited to live as people of the light. And goodness, if things don't feel dark, mm-hmm. here we are, you know, closing out 2021. And it just has been 2020 take two. And just to remember that our circumstances do not dictate who the Lord is.
Yes,
and that, and yeah, things are dark, but the light shines bright in that dark. And
it's
so it's going to be a really beautiful season. We have lots of different ways for people to engage. If you are within the sound of my voice, please come read with us.
Yes,
it's going to
absolutely.
Be so sweet and special. We have study books that are gorgeous that you can work through. And I can say they're gorgeous because I didn't design
they are
that.
Gorgeous.
And we do fun things like recipes and crafts, but we just read scripture every day and we just start walking to the manger and kind of slowing our pace and
so
getting ready to remember what all the fuss is about at Christmas time.
Well, I will put the link to all of this in our show notes
yes,
because I
that.
Know they're only for sale for a few more days and I want to make sure everyone gets one
oh,
because
you're going to want it,
you're
yeah.
going to want it not just for you and maybe you to go through with a friend or your spouse, with your kids. It's
oh,
just,
some
it's
fun
a thing
kids
we do.
Stuff. This year.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So go check it out.
Well, yeah. Thank you, love. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Love you so much and thankful just the way Jesus shines through you. That light is very bright.
Listen, likewise.
So give my love to your family.
Yes, thank you.
I hope that was an encouragement for you. I loved reflecting and remembering all the meaningful things. Just how God wove our stories together. And yes, there were painful moments and redemptive moments, and that's kind of the journey of faith and the journey of grace. And seeing our kiddos now, you know, 3 years later, home and still in each other's lives and still celebrating one another and still championing one another, I just look at God's providence that who would have thought that all these individuals on the other side of the world all came together to grow up together with some families in Nashville. But more importantly, it's you asking yourself, what is that surrendered yes that God's inviting you to? Something that's scary and daunting and overwhelming. How might that still small voice speak to you today and prompt you just to take the next step It's just a next step of availability and open-handedness to His Spirit and what God might invite you towards. So if you want to grab the Advent study, just go to the link in my show notes. They only are available for a limited time, and we would love for you to follow along with us when that journey begins into the Christmas season. I hope you all have a great week.